Today on Real Radio.
When we pray, it will literally also have an effect on us physically. What I mean by that is when we get up in the morning after praying, the day, no matter what it throws to us, just ain't so bad.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The first four verses of chapter 11 contain what is often erroneously dubbed the Lord's Prayer. It is not the Lord's Prayer. It is a model prayer or framework of how we believers are to address the Almighty when presenting to Him our praises and petitions. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a mini-series called When a Christian Prays.
How could someone become indebted to us and we have the power to forgive? How does that work? When someone sins against us, this is what this word means. When someone sins against us, they become indebted to us. That number one, they are to go to God first and ask for forgiveness. Number two, they must come to you and ask for forgiveness. They owe God an apology. Listen, theologically, it means this. They owe God an apology through you, whom they sinned against as well. If they repent of their sin, believe me, my friend, you'll be the first one to know it. You'll be the first one to know. Because God will tell them, look, you hurt Susie? God will say, you go to Susie first and then come and talk to me. Isn't that what the scripture teaches? Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for that day of redemption, but let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Hebrews 12, 4 says, pursue peace with everybody and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest someone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness begin to spring up in you and cause trouble, whereby many are defiled. Here's what you don't want to ever have happen. You want to pray to the Lord always, asking Him to forgive you. And if you have sinned, you ask God to forgive you, because if you don't, bitterness will begin to cook in your heart. You'll get critical. You'll get gossipy. You'll just get basically stinky to be around. And disgruntled. And it will start a little seed of bitterness. And if you don't get that taken care of and cut out of your heart, you'll wind up stopping fellowship in church. You'll wind up staying home because now you start. We've all seen this happen. The person winds up taking it out on God, inevitably. It's part of the judgment. And they wind up being broken away. It's so sad, it doesn't need to happen. Listen, when we have, God has given us the power to forgive because of the Holy Spirit within us. Secondly, brought to the place of power this way, the power of reconciliation. When we forgive someone who's indebted to us, we exercise the power of reconciliation. In Matthew 5, 23, Jesus says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, in other words, you're going to come and do your religious thing. You're going to come to church or you're going to pray. Jesus says, if you bring your gift to the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you. Note this. Leave your gift at the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift to God. Why? God wants a clear slate. Reconciliation. And then thirdly, under this point, we've been given the power to heal. God has given each and every one of us as Christians the amazing ability to extend forgiveness and to forgive those who have sinned against us and thereby heal. I want to say something. I didn't have it in my notes, but it's important. God's bringing it to my heart right now. When are we going to come to the agreement? Lay aside whatever differences. Well, I'm a Baptist today. Well, God bless you, Mr. Baptist. Well, I'm a Lutheran over here. God bless you, Mr. Lutheran. I got news for you. God is neither one of those things. And He's not a Calvary Chapel guy either. God is God and we are his people if we're trusting in Christ Jesus alone to save us from our sins. He died on the cross for us. Okay? Listen. We need to be very, very careful to come to the understanding once and for all that we are not one another's enemy. We will never join the war with God by the power of the Spirit against the forces of darkness. We can't even get to the war. We can't even get there because we're all balled up and messed up with little battles. He said, she said, baptize frontwards, baptize backwards. Pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. Name it. We're all divided about these things that are keeping us from getting to the war. Do you realize that we have one enemy, and that is Satan? And he laughs. He throws stuff over there. Watch this. He throws stuff over there, and all the Christians are fighting each other. Oh, yeah, watch this one. Watch it. He shoots something over there, and the Christians are fighting over there, when we should put down that stuff and say, wait a minute. We've got one enemy, and that's Satan. And that doesn't mean you turn around and all of us get like AK-47s and bazookas. You know what? Satan would freak if all those Christians would stop bickering, fall on their knees together, and pray to the God of all eternity. And what's the old hymn? Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Wow. Power to heal. It's a very powerful thing. No doubt about it. And then also, point number nine. Point nine in our study, when a Christian prays, we're brought to the place of victory. Wow, victory. He says, do not lead us into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Don't lead us into temptation. The truth is very, very important here. Number one, victory over my, watch it, mark it down, flesh. When a Christian prays, we're brought to the place of victory. Victory over the flesh, church. It goes like this. First of all, when I pray, I go like this. Humbling. Especially if my kids walk in the room. And then you're praying. And as you pray, there's something that happens in your heart. I can't explain it. Try it sometime. There's something about getting prone or on your face or on your knees when you pray. You say, are you kidding? I said, try it. Go try it. And when you pray, there is a sense where my flesh doesn't want to do that. Oh, come on, get up. Lisa will think you're silly. Get up. What if Rebecca walks in and sees you like this? Get up. What if Ashley walks in? What if Shannon walks in and sees you like this? Stand up. You'll start hearing stuff like that in your head. Then you start hearing stuff like this. I'm hungry. Dear God in heaven, I'm asking you to move, and Lord, I'm hungry. You started this battle. What are you battling? Your flesh. You say, Pastor, I'm not a Christian. What are you talking about, flesh? What do you mean, flesh? This skin has appetites. Christian and non-Christian like, we know this. Our flesh, look, does it want this? Or does it want this? Huh? You want a happy meal? Or In-N-Out double-double. The flesh wants the best. You know the flesh. When somebody takes a group picture and they produce the picture, the flesh says, where am I? Where am I? Where am I? There I am. Oh, man, that's a rut. Can we take another one? That's the flesh. We need victory over the flesh, says the Bible. Don't lead us into temptation. This is an amazing thing because our flesh, watch, our flesh, look, I'm going to tell you right now, as a Christian, don't, listen, it's you too. Don't do this to me. It's you and I both. Our flesh, even though we're Christians, our flesh says, no, 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 lead me to temptation. Where's the temptation? I want it. Come on. Let's bring it on. That's the part that says, as a Christian, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go that way. And the flesh says, no, over here. Come on. The flesh does that. This flesh is unredeemed. You are born again. Your spirit has been alive. And your soul, that is your mind, is being renewed day by day in the Word of God. And the flesh, this rotten, Stinking flesh has to be resurrected. It's got to die before it's resurrected. We must be resurrected. Why? Because this rotten carcass of mine can't get to heaven. It's got to be changed. Just like a dirty diaper, it's got to be changed. The flesh screams in Christ, my flesh is weak, it wants all the comforts. My flesh wants earthly appetites brought to it. My body wants things that it's not supposed to have, and I want it now. When I pray, oh Lord, lead us not into temptation. We're asking God to strengthen us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. The word flee is where we get the English word fugitive, fugo. It means to run from lust. Run. Every person has some form or forms of the need to run or flee from youthful lust. It may not be physical, it may be other things, but you got to run from it. Joseph ran. Remember Joseph? Remember that woman? What was her name? We don't know her name. Potiphar's wife. It said every day when Joseph would walk in, and the Bible says Joseph was extremely well-built, very handsome, and very exotic. Well, he was Jewish, and he was in Egypt. There's just skin color change right there. And the Egyptians have dark-colored eyes. Many, many Jews. Joseph probably had green or light blue eyes with dark complexion, curly, wavy hair. The guy was incredibly beautiful, says the Bible. And he walked in every day, and he did the work of Potiphar. And it says right there in the Bible that Potiphar's wife, when Potiphar wasn't around, Potiphar's wife cast longing eyes at him. Joseph, can you get me that pot right here? That pot right there? She was hitting on him every day, every day, every day, says the Bible. Wasn't that sickening, huh? And it says one day, when nobody was around, she laid hold of him. She grabbed him, and she said, well, in Old English, you know, there's in King James, they went as nasty as they could go in King James English. Lie with me! Almost sounds polite. She said, lie with me! And he took off, what? Fugo. He became a fugitive. He ran, tore his robe right off. He's running, no way! And he took off. That's the life of the believer who prays, oh God, make me a fugitive from sin. Also this, victory over my fears. Not only victory over my flesh, victory over my fears. This is all important. Temptation, listen, being tempted is not a sin. Temptation's not a sin. If you give in to it, that's when you sin. Jesus was tempted, the Bible says, yet without sin. He didn't give in to it. Relieving our fears, when we pray, we'll be freed from that and have victory over our fears. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 says, but we see Jesus. The word means focus on Jesus. Hey, are you going to go to the office tomorrow and some guy or some girl's hitting on you? Focus on Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. That means he put on human skin. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for whom are all things, and by whom all things are, and bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of our salvation complete through suffering. Jesus had to fight against temptation so he could minister to us. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the next time, listen, when a temptation comes, don't flinch. Don't flinch from it. Kill it. Hey, if somebody's bugging you at the office or in the neighborhood, hey, you know what? Hey, and they come casting longing eyes at you, tell them, hey, you need to be born again. Those longing eyes of yours need Jesus. I guarantee you, and here's the thing, I guarantee you, that person will leave you alone. And if you can't say that, then you're liking the little flirtation thing that's going on, and you are flirting with fire. And don't you ever think that God has brought to you that temptation. God brings trials to us. Satan brings, this world brings, my flesh brings temptation. God does not bring you a temptation. The book of James chapter 1 says so. God doesn't tempt you. He didn't say, hey, look. No, he doesn't do that. Trials, he brings those. Trials bring you closer to the Lord. Temptation drives you further away if you yield to it. Don't do that. And then failure. Brought to the place of victory, victory over my failure. Man, we can all get in line for this one. Have we not all failed? Sin, even as a believer, interferes with my relationship with God, as we talked about earlier. And it's so very, very important that we understand this. Now that we're saved, Christian, we are to confess our sins daily. Now watch this. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. This is a great verse. You need to mark it down. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot save. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. You're still his child. He is your God. But sin blocks the door of blessing and communication. And you know this verse very well. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is, walk with God, you can talk with God. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great news? Wow. Temptation handled rightly with the word of God can be used to build spiritual character. Number 10, final point. When a Christian prays, we're brought to the place of rest. I've struggled with bringing this particular closing point to you because I didn't want to get too goofy weird, and I don't want to negate the fact of what I'm trying to say here either. When he says, but deliver us from the evil one, I need to tell you something. Of course he's talking about Satan here. Absolutely. And when we talk about rest, that when we pray that the Christian's brought to a place of rest, how do I say this? It's just a fact. In the medical world, let me back up. When I used to work for Baxter Healthcare, we were developing some non-invasive technology for monitoring oxygenation in blood. We did this at Long Beach Veterans Hospital. And we had all these guys plugged into machines, monitoring all this stuff. And I just stood over the guy. I had a clipboard. I stood over the guy. He's all plugged in, all wired up. I said, why don't you close your eyes? Now, this is weird. I want you to close your eyes. His heart rate and his blood pressure has been at a certain rate for 20 minutes. He's laying down. Okay, I want you to think about the color red. I want you to make the sky red. I want you to make this room red. I want you to think the color red. Red. Water is now red. I want you to think red. Everything you see is red. You know what happens? His heart rate goes up. His blood pressure rises. We start taking we're drawing blood from him. We're monitoring the devices. We're matching the data. Okay, now I want you to just relax. I want you to think about the color blue. Blue. I want you to think about the Hawaiian Islands. I want you to think about the ocean. I want you to think about the sky. I want you to think about, and you know what happens? Heart rate slows down, blood pressure begins to drop. It's called biofeedback. It's a fact. If it's true on the physical realm that just thinking about a restful place changes the elevation of your physical operation, of your person, when we pray, it will literally also have an effect on us physically. What I mean by that is when we get up in the morning after praying, the day, no matter what it throws to us, just ain't so bad. Why is that true? Now we get to the point. Because it affects you deeply spiritually. You are a body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says. You're very complex. When we pray, God brings us to a place of rest. Church, I'm sad to tell you that rest for your body, you and I abuse the temple of God. and we don't even have the right to do so. This body, hey, listen, this body's not ours. When we came to Jesus, we gave him our body. You and I have no right to go do something that's going to harm this body. It's the Lord's body. Deliver us from the evil one. Number one, our body. Lord, regarding my body, deliver me from the influence and powers of Satan who would seek to destroy me. Interesting. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is life to the body, and envy is as rottenness to the bones. Wow. Rest for the body. Secondly, rest for your heart. When we pray, deliver us from the evil one, we're asking God to deliver us. And when I talk about heart, I mean the very spirit of who we are, the deep-seated emotion of who we are. Satan has a field day. This world in my flesh has a field day with emotions. How many people make decisions, statements, and comments based upon emotions? I got news for you. How many, church, listen. How many people send emails based upon emotions and they get up in the morning and pray to the God of Google or whoever that they didn't, wouldn't have sent it? If they could just bring it back. Have you ever said something that you wish you could? Something came out of your mouth, you're going, oh man, I want that one back. How bad is email? You completely misunderstand the person, or somebody sends you an email and it wasn't supposed to go to you, and you write back, oh yeah, well I've always hated you, you big freak. And you send the email back and the guy goes, I didn't send that to you, I'm sorry. It wasn't supposed to go to you. We don't think anymore. Our emotions are driving us, and we wonder why we're all fried and frayed at the ends. We're not praying. We're out of control. We're emotionally driven people. And then that's translated over to an emotional gospel, an emotional Bible, an emotional church. Watch out. Is what you do based upon Bible or based upon what you feel? Well, I don't feel, ooh, what? Ah. Hang on. Put on the brakes. Third, and we're done. Final thing. Deliver us from evil. Rest for the soul. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remains a rest for the people of God. Isn't that great? And I end with this verse. There's a rest for our soul. My friend, you start praying. I'm going to say this, man. You start praying, your spirit's going to explode. You're going to have direction from God, peace. You're going to have all of these 10 points going on in your life. You'll be able to forgive people that up until now you couldn't forgive them before. And you'll have the humility to go to people to ask them to forgive you for what you've done to them. You'll be liberated and set free. How do we know? Last verse of the day. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, ball and chain, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, says Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a mini-series called When a Christian Prays. Look at the first four verses of Luke chapter 11, what is often inaccurately dubbed the Lord's Prayer. Now, this mini-series is part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative written by Dr. Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this mini-series, When a Christian Prays, can be yours on CD for a contribution of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. Simply ask for it by title when you call, click, or write. When a Christian Prays. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in that contribution the traditional way, here's our mailing address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, We at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.